Welcome to episode 4 of the Simply Commercial podcast series. Today we're going to be taking a look at the future of US climate regulation. If you haven't listened to any of our episodes before, then make sure you do go back and take a look at what we have to offer, and especially our special episode, Commercial Awareness Guide, which we filmed very recently. On to today's podcast, I'm going to pass over to a member of our team, Dylan, who's going to talk through US climate regulation.
Hi guys, and welcome to the Simply Commercial podcast, your centre for all things to do with commercial awareness. My name is Dylan and I'm a first year student at the University of Southampton, and I'm going to be your host for today. Just quickly before we start, feel free to drop me a connection on LinkedIn, and if you want to request a topic for discussion or find it interesting, make sure you comment it on our LinkedIn page or on our Instagram comments. Today we'll be discussing the future of US climate legislation. Last week, you may have seen the rioters or terrorists, depending on your political standing, storm the US Capitol. Now, if you're wondering what the US Capitol is and why this happened, the US Capitol is the equivalent of the UK Houses of Parliament, where all the legislators tend to sit and discuss political opinion and pieces of legislation, really. Now, all of this occurred because of the recounted vote restating Joe Biden's win in Georgia. Now, this win in Georgia gave Joe Biden the control of the US Senate. So what does this mean for the United States and climate legislation? Well, now that Democrats have control of both the House of Representatives and the Senate, it will provide for a greater control in legislation, today's focus being on climate legislation. Now, for a bit of background knowledge, under Donald Trump's administration, climate change was not a priority at all. In total, the administration had rolled back on over 90 environmental rules set by previous presidencies, such as Obama's, stretching from infrastructure to mining and drilling toxic substances such as fossil fuels, now an example being coal or other natural gases through fracking or deep sea drilling, all these sorts of things. Now, one of the most controversial decisions made under the Trump administration was the decision to leave the Paris Agreement. Now, if you don't know what the Paris Agreement is, it is basically the largest climate accord in the world, signed by over 200 members of the United Nations and in the United Nations framework on climate change. They have the initial goal of limiting the rise in climate change by 2 degrees. However, in 2018, a special report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change suggested that the 2 degree rise was simply not enough, limiting and changing the goal to 1.5 degrees by 2035. Now, if you're interested in this report, it is readily available. Just a quick Google search and you'll be able to find it. Now, back to US climate change. The US has one of the biggest economies in the world and has done so for decades, and with that, human and capital development have soared. Subsequently, they've been crowned the second largest greenhouse gas emitter in the world, second only to China. The United States officially left the Paris Agreement on November 4th, 2020, when the four-year-long process came to its conclusion. During 2017, however, Trump was not keen on the idea, resulting in the $3 billion loss of global climate funding in the Green Climate Deal. The lack of acknowledgement towards climate regulation has led to a slowed fall in carbon emissions and a projected miss of the 25% reduction goal by 2025. Analysts in the US have projected that the US will only reach a 17% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. So where does this leave us with the new Biden administration, and what is the likely commercial impact of him being elected as president? To begin with, technically, Biden will not need the permission of the Senate to rejoin the Paris Accord because he can do so via an executive agreement. Now, if you're wondering what an executive agreement is, it is basically a power reserved to the president solely for their own will to do with international relations and treaties. And these are meant to be politically binding rather than legally binding, which is the reason how Trump was able to leave the accord despite it being frowned upon. So what will this mean for the different sectors in the US? Ultimately, there's a high probability that Joe Biden will reinstate the US funding into the Green Climate Fund set up by the UNFCCC. But we have to consider what this prospect actually means. So with the regained focus on climate change, Joe Biden is on track to re-energise the US economy. The focus on climate change regulation will force fuel companies to reinvest their profits into greener energy sources. Last year, under Trump, a variety of CEOs from major companies such as Apple, Google, Goldman Sachs and Royal Dutch Shell signed a statement arguing that rejoining would actually improve US competitiveness in their respective sectors. As we've seen over the years, some renewable sources have fallen in price to consumers as their technology develops and becomes more effective and more efficient, such as solar panels on houses and increased use in wind farms. A report by the Fortune 500 website has stated that a large majority of Americans on both sides of the political spectrum, that being Democrats and Republicans, have seen favour in turning to these solar panel farms and wind turbine farms. And this was a bit of research reported in the Pew Research Center, that 77% of Americans agree that developing renewable energy should be prioritised over fossil fuels. Favouring these investments will also tend to increase when paired with broader economic recovery packages. So it is likely that we will see a favourable amount of Republicans vote in favour of these pieces of legislation. But this begs the question to other sources of energy which may see a boost or a fall in reduction. Biden announced and boasted during his election campaign that he would want a $2 trillion economic package, most of which will go toward clean energy transition. The economic package will result in a greater investment by companies involved in the fossil fuel industry to update and shift production to clean energy. The increased investment in green energy will allow for a greater development of jobs in innovation and infrastructure development technologies. This is all good and well for the clean energy sector, but what about the big oil sector and the fuel companies involved in deep sea drilling in the North Sea or in Antarctica and the use of fracking in the US? Well, according to the Energy Information Association, coal and natural gas still accounts for more than 60% of the US energy sector. But with control of the Senate, Democrats will have a strong foundation in pushing through climate regulation for these individual sectors. So hence, we must consider that this will be a long process. But eventually, if the impact is large enough, there will be a shift of investment from emitting companies towards cleaner sources. 12 states and 165 cities in the US have already pledged their commitment to get 100% of electricity from renewable sources. The public momentum and motivation in the US is providing a great ray of hope towards climate legislation and the end goal of achieving carbon neutrality. All of this according to America's pledge. However, a pledge is merely a statement. We will have to wait and see what is the ultimate outcome of Joe Biden's climate regulation and how each individual state and city act in coercion to combat and achieve this goal of carbon neutrality. As we're coming to the end now, here are some questions for you all to consider. How will the Democratic control impact investment into other sectors? So if you're applying to a firm, they're heavily invested upon things like investment banking, infrastructure development, IP. How will climate legislation force them to change their own systems? Is there a potential that new technology will be developed? Secondly, the extent to which the Biden administration will alleviate the damage caused in the last presidency. That is, will Joe Biden be able to effectively get to the target of reaching a 25% reduction in climate greenhouse gases by 2025? Thirdly, who are the major players in this regulation? What companies are leading the way? As I mentioned, Goldman Sachs, Google, Apple, all these companies. It has already been announced that companies such as JP Morgan and Citibank will cut lending by 62% and 87% respectively in the sector of coal power financing. Now, coal power financing is banned under the World Bank, so who else is going to be involved in this shift? Now, before I go, I hope that you have enjoyed the content from today's podcast. If you have any queries or want to share your thoughts, feel free to contact us once again on our LinkedIn or Instagram page. Thank you for listening, and I hope to see you all soon.